And he said to them, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Luke 12:15. Hi, I'm Rob West. Covetousness doesn't get enough pulpit time these days. Pastors would do well to preach more about this sin that infects today's society. I'll talk about how you can combat covetousness with God's wisdom today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Okay, first a definition. Covetousness is a sinful desire for things. It's often confused with envy, which is actually directed toward another person and leads to covetousness when you want what they have. I make this distinction because the Bible makes it by giving covetousness a special place, forbidding it in the 10th commandment. Envy is bad. It's a sin. But covetousness is even more dangerous to your soul. And why is that? Well, Paul gives us the answer in Colossians 3:5. It reads, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. When you covet something, you make it an idol, putting it before God. This, of course, points back to the first two commandments. In Deuteronomy 5, we find, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. And that's followed by, you shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. Now you see the danger, that covetousness is an emotion that drives idolatry, and it's nothing short of a plague in today's society. Through the media and advertising, we're bombarded daily with the images of things, many of which we can't afford, a bigger house, a newer car, or a skiing vacation in Vail. Covetousness is sometimes called the mother of sin because it leads to so many others, like greed, envy, hate, and even murder. There are special warnings when money itself becomes an idol. Jesus says in Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And in 1 Timothy 6:10, Paul writes, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. God gave the sin of covetousness a special place in the Ten Commandments because he had to. As Paul relates in Romans 7, that without the law, he wouldn't have known that he was covetous. That's because our sin nature prevents us from seeing our greed, lust, and materialism. So how do you know if you've fallen victim to covetousness? First, by praying that God would reveal this sin in your heart. James 1:5 tells us, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Second, by searching God's word for the truth about covetousness and how it may be affecting your life. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 reads, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And third, by asking yourself some difficult questions and answering them honestly. Does God hold preeminence in your life? Have you placed other gods before him? You would never worship a golden calf, but what about your favorite sports team or your TV or even your spouse or children? Have you placed those things before God? Have you sought after earthly things instead of the kingdom of heaven? Jesus says in Matthew 6:10, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. And in Luke 12:15, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. So, pray for wisdom, study God's word, and guard your heart. That's how you combat covetousness. But as you do those things, keep in mind that money and possessions themselves are not evil. It's not a sin to have wealth, nor is it more holy to be poor. It's only when we put possessions above the God that gives them to us that we fall into the trap of covetousness. I hope that's an encouragement to you today. All right, your calls are next, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and you're listening to Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Stick around. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. You may have heard reports about the weather in my old home state of California. California's experienced an extraordinary amount of rain, over 78 trillion gallons. Though some may be tempted to complain about the rain, it's important to remember this rain was needed and that this came from the Lord's hand. In Zechariah 10:1, the Lord is reminding Israel of who they should be counting on. You see, Israel had been following idols right and left. Rather than finding their safety and comfort in the arms of the Lord, they were looking to false gods. So the Lord told his people, "Ask the Lord for rain in the springtime. To whom else should we go to in our times of need?" The Lord is in control. Get daily encouragement from God's Word with Anchor Devotional. Try it out at getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
We can all use some encouragement from time to time to overcome the stress of daily living. On the next Focus on the Family, British evangelist Jay John shares a humorous look at life and provides practical ideas to help you gain a better perspective. It's an enjoyable attitude adjustment next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance. I'm Rob West, your host. All right, it's time to take your calls and questions today. The number to call is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you today with whatever financial question is on your mind today. Our promise to you is to be encouraging and hopeful, to bring you wisdom from the principles that we find in God's Word, because here's our approach at Faith and Finance. Number one, we begin not with just practical how-tos. We begin with our identity in Christ, recognizing that God owns it all and we're stewards. Money is a tool, and really we should seek first the kingdom because we have an abundance given our place, our standing before the Lord as His children, adopted into His family through the shed blood of Jesus Christ when we place our trust in Him. And then from there, we move out into God's Word and say, what are those principles that we see in Scripture that we can apply to our lives? And then finally, what are those daily decisions we're making, and how can we take our standing before the Lord with those principles we see in Scripture and apply them to the actual financial decisions that we're making each day? Well, that's what we want to do with you. So what are you thinking about today financially? Let us know. We'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. All right, let's begin today in Georgia. Joshua, you'll be our first caller. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning, Mr. West. Thank you for taking the call. I'm not sure if I've asked this in the exact same way, but what if there's no deal to raise the debt ceiling? None of this is really good anyway. I mean, either raise it higher and end up going bankrupt later or having to default. And what happens in a debt default in a country? Do we go to hyperinflation? I mean, I'm on a fixed income. Can you tell me where that leaves me right now? Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, very good, Joshua. Thanks for raising that question today. You know, it's obviously something that could be a real challenge for us if the debt ceiling isn't lifted. This is different than a government shutdown. You know, our potential default on any debt has catastrophic ramifications for the United States, and this is going to be a giant game of chicken just to see kind of where we land between congressional leaders and the president on this one. With, again, pretty significant implications. You know, the full faith and credit of the United States government to meet its obligations is really significant both here and abroad in terms of the confidence that investors have in the U.S. Treasury and the United States' ability to meet its obligations. If we didn't have the ability to pay our obligations, the negative economic effects would quickly mount and risk triggering a deep recession well beyond what we're expecting this year, which is why any negotiations are likely going to be short-lived. We actually hit the debt ceiling earlier this year, but the Treasury Department has been kind of using its levers to continue to fund all of its obligations. All of that will run out in January. What would likely happen is that they would continue to pay the interest and principal of Treasury securities alongside delays in other federal obligations. So the timely payments of the interest and principal of Treasuries is really key to make sure that we avoid a default on Treasury securities. Now, that would likely result in lots of litigation as to why the Treasury obligations are paid and others aren't. There are also certain ways that they can continue to pay Social Security obligations and Medicare by tapping into the trust fund. There is some precedent in that. But obviously, this runs the risk of the U.S. being seen as a higher risk. And it's from the world standpoint, the Treasury market needs to run smoothly. And the question is, how long would this go on? But it does raise a bigger question down the road of a possible debt crisis. I think that's much further down the road. But obviously, if we got into that situation, we can see how that's played out in other parts of the world in terms of the effect that it has on their economies that would likely be the case here. It would lead to high inflation. It would lead to rising unemployment. I mean, there would be some pretty significant implications for that, which is why we need to not treat the symptom. Yes, we need to treat the symptom in the short run, but in the longer run, we need to treat the actual problem, which is creating the right policy environment that's pro-growth so we can continue to see economic expansion despite the challenges we have in this country with demographics, a shrinking workforce, with folks having fewer babies and more retirees that we have in this country. Also, the ability for us to keep taxes low and make the right decisions so that we can see God's principles of economic expansion at work, that virtuous cycle of people being a blessing to take God's creation and improve it and order it so that we as workers, which we were created to do before the fall of man, can participate in a virtuous cycle of economic expansion. And by the way, giving back to the God that created us, which calibrates our hearts to His, and not manipulating the system through artificially low interest rates and an unending money supply. So there's a lot of things that have to happen to correct that, including reining in our federal spending. But in the short run, you know, what will happen? Most folks think that this debt ceiling will be lifted because this is not about new spending. This is about paying for what decisions we've already made in this country in terms of the obligations that we have. Our standing in the world is dependent upon our ability to make good on those decisions. And that's why I think any impasse will be short-lived. And I think you'll see the Treasury pulling all of its levers so there's not a default on Treasuries and so that entitlements and benefits can continue to be paid. But the effects of that are all going to be dependent upon how long it takes for that to play out and for ultimately that debt ceiling to be lifted, which everybody's in agreement has to be done in the short run. The question is what concessions are made to deal with the longer term solutions in the process, because obviously this is a key time for negotiations. But it's not a time to play chicken with the things that are at stake here, which is our ability to be seen as a trustworthy holder of debt. So we'll be watching closely. What do you need to do in the meantime? I don't think there's really anything we can do other than be faithful at what is passing through our hands to manage that wisely and to show up and vote, because it's really important that we have leaders in place who understand God's design for economics, which is why this country took off like a rocket ship and has outpaced every other nation on the planet, because we applied those principles for a long, long time. And we're getting away from that in many respects, and we need to return to it. So it's a great question, Joshua. Obviously, we've got a lot of folks that have a lot of thoughts on this that we'll be tapping into along the way between now and June as we watch this play out. We appreciate you calling and asking that question today. We've got some phone lines open. We'd love to hear from you today, 800-525-7000. In just a moment, we'll be talking to Betty in Oregon about bankruptcy. What impact does that have when a spouse files bankruptcy? She has a question related to her son-in-law, and we'll get to that just around the corner. We'll also be tackling a couple of your emailed questions today. By the way, if you have a question, you're welcome to send that along to us at askrob@faithfi.com. That's askrob@faithfi.com. Feel free to send those along at any time. We try to get a few of those on the air each day. Also, if you haven't checked out our website recently, we'd love for you to visit, join the FaithFi community, posing questions, getting responses, participating in the conversation, and the best content in biblical finance. It's all right there, faithfi.com. We'll be back with much more. Stay with us.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. AFA aims to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
We are grateful for support from LitePoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LitePoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations, such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches, and we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at lightpointportfolios.com.
Friendships is offering an exciting opportunity for young adults who want to grow in their walk with God, become physically fit, and learn relief ministry while serving in the Middle East. This is an amazing opportunity to serve God and experience Israel. Check out Seahawk's one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session begins August 19th.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
Oh, we use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org.
chministries.org.
Well, we'd always wanted to leave some of our money for God. but we didn't know where or how.
Bernie and Alice Larson are faithful supporters of the American Family Association.
We felt like this was put into our laps as answer to our prayers as to what we could do after we're gone.
You can learn more about charitable annuities and other financial products at AFAFoundation.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. We'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Also, coming up a little later in the broadcast, Bob Dahl will stop by. Bob is a Wall Street veteran managing billions and billions of dollars, a frequent contributor on Fox Business. Bob is the Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments, and he joins us each Monday morning to share with us his outlook on the markets and the economy in the coming week, and we'll enjoy our time with Bob a little later in the program today. All right, back to the phones. Again, just a couple of lines open. We'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's head to Oregon. Hi, Betty. How can I help you?
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. The question is, if my son-in-law files bankruptcy, is my daughter responsible for that debt should something happen to him and he not be able to pay? He has to pay for, I think it's 5 years, a certain amount to towards that bankruptcy.
Yes, yes. If a husband files bankruptcy without his wife, only the husband's debts are discharged. If the debts are held jointly, obviously the non-filing spouse, his wife, would still owe even after one spouse had to file bankruptcy. You will need to monitor the credit reports just to make sure if you have jointly held debts that it doesn't affect the non-filing spouse's credit. So are there jointly held debts
this is entirely his debt and okay. That he filed. So there's nothing joint. But they did ask for her income. I don't know why, but they did. But this is credit card debt solely on his card.
Okay, got it. The biggest concern of individuals filing for bankruptcy is their credit, typically, but everybody has a separate credit file connected to their Social Security. So it really shouldn't have an impact on his wife, given the situation here that it's only his debt, he's the one filing, and there really isn't going to be any adverse effect here for her whatsoever.
And if something should happen to him, I'm not trying to be morbid, but if he should pass during this time period, does it switch over to her somehow or no?
If it's only his debt, now his estate would be there to pay those debts. As a part of the probate process. So any assets that were in his name would be available to meet his obligations. But she doesn't become responsible for the debt simply because she's his wife. But it would require his debts to be paid out of his assets at death.
Okay. Okay. And that would include, like, if their home is titled to both of them. Correct?
Yeah.
Would they do that?
Well, they wouldn't make you sell the house, so there, you know, it would have to be, I mean, you'd have to look at, during the probate process, they would look at what assets are available and decide, you know, what is available to be paid. But, if she has legal title to the home at that point, she would not be, you know, required to sell the house or anything like that. That debt would not become hers. So, I think it would be important to talk to the bankruptcy attorney about all of this just to make sure that she isn't adversely affected, but there isn't any reason that she should be as a result of what he's doing here.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. You guys are wonderful. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Betty. Well, I appreciate your call today very much. 800-525-7000 is the number to call to Louisiana. Hi, Steve. Thanks for calling. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, brother. Quick question. In your shows in the past, you gave a number or where you can go to get like your credit report.
Yes.
You know, your total credit report. I need to know that. And also, I just want to praise you and thank you in Jesus' name that you gave me some good, helpful financial information that really made a difference in my life. And thank you for what you do.
Wow. Well, thank you for that, Steve. I appreciate it. I'd love to answer your question about the credit report. Give me, though, just a little thumbnail sketch of what decision you made and how that impacted you.
You were telling me that, you know, to take my, instead of I-bonds or stocks or whatever, and I was right in the middle of a divorce and stuff, and in my divorce, I took my money and put it into I-bonds for my children as a gift. And it is exceedingly done well to help them.
Wow.
And I thank you so much for that.
Well, that's great. Well, I appreciate you saying that. Hey, as to the credit report, the best place to go, Steve, is annualcreditreport.com. You can get a free credit report from each of the three bureaus there, TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian. I would encourage you to do that. I would get one from each, get one from one bureau and then get the next one 4 months later. And then kind of every 3 or 4 months, I'd be pulling another one. And that way, you know, you're only 3 or 4 months away from just having a good check on what's going on your credit file. So if there is something erroneous or somebody's opening an account fraudulently in your name, you're able to catch that and then respond to it. And according to the Fair Credit Reporting Act, they'll have to either verify that it's accurate or update it or delete it. But annualcreditreport.com is the place to go to get those. You can also get your credit score as well from, you know, several places. These days, if you have a credit card, a lot of credit card companies are now offering credit scores free just as a part of you doing business with them. If not, Credit Karma would be a great place to go to get a free credit score. But the most important thing is that you keep tabs on those credit reports themselves, just making sure that all the information is up to date and spotting anything that's inaccurate or negative so that you can address it. And again, the place to go there, annualcreditreport.com. Thanks for being on the program today and for your kind remarks and encouragement. We appreciate it. All right, folks, a quick break. Back with much more. Marion, Texas, we're coming your way just around the corner, but perhaps your question as well. 800-525-7000. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Jenna Ellis in the morning.
You need to be very concerned about what your children are being exposed to if they go to a public school or even if they go to a Christian school. Parents are not just allowed, they have a constitutionally protected fundamental right that is God-given to direct the education, well-being, and faith options of their children.
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. SoundMindInvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance. I'm Rob West, your host. This is where we apply the wisdom from God's Word, the principles, the big themes from Scripture to the financial decisions and choices you're making each day. Hey, before we head back to the phones today, let me remind you, if you're having trouble staying on budget, maybe in these high inflationary times, you're struggling to make ends meet each month, well, having a spending plan is essential to that. And once you have a plan, sticking to it is really critical. That's where the tried and true envelope system has helped so many over the years, starting with the late Larry Burkett and continuing today. And we took that tried and true model of managing money on a monthly basis and put it into a digital envelope system in the FaithFi app. And if you'd like to check it out, you can learn more or download it today when you visit our website, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Just click app and perhaps you'll have control and visibility into your finances like you've never had before. Check it out. All right, back to the phones we go. Let's get to as many calls as we can today. Next up is Mary in Texas. Hi, Mary. Go right ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. My question is this, where they take good credit people to pay for those who can't afford a home. My friend explained it that good credit people are going to be charged extra money, like say $50, and that $50 will go to the bad credit person to buy a home. And I thought, well, isn't that extortion?
Yeah, Mary, this is really disheartening. You're exactly right. The Washington Times is where I first saw it, but now it's widely reported. You ought to check it out. Homebuyers with good credit scores will actually have to pay more in interest on Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac mortgages beginning May the 1st. This is just, you know, it's something we're seeing from the Biden administration. We're still learning more about it, but it's just, in my opinion, a terrible move. Basically, with homebuyers with credit scores of 680 or higher are going to pay on average $40 per month more on a home loan of $400,000. And incredibly, buyers who responsibly make down payments of 15 to 20%, and that's exactly what we recommend, will actually get socked with the largest fees. This is the Biden administration's move to subsidize people with riskier credit ratings who are also in the market to buy houses by making folks with higher credit scores pay more to basically subsidize what they're trying to do. It's something that should never have happened. And this is one of those where hopefully we're going to see more and more people talking about it and congressional leaders getting involved in this, because this is just something that I think is terrible and absolutely sends the wrong message about being responsible with managing your money and having a high credit score, which means you've made the right decisions to order your finances in such a way that is productive. So you're exactly right, Mary. This is something that's real. It's supposed to take effect here in the next week. And it's something that, you know, I think absolutely is not the right move on the part of the Biden administration.
Well, I thought years ago Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae went broke because of the way they operated.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they're still around and operated by the U.S. government, but it's you know, this is I think one more indication of this administration's approach to kind of to try to level the playing field for everyone, no matter how responsible or irresponsible you've been with managing your finances. So it's something we'll keep an eye on. This debate is just beginning as this news comes out and begins to go into effect. So we'll have a lot more on it in the days ahead. But you're absolutely right. Bottom line, if you put more down on a house and you have a higher credit score, you're going to pay more for these mortgages than those who have lower credit scores and put down less money. And it makes no sense. We appreciate your call today very much. To South Carolina, Dean, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Yes, my wife and I are in our 80s. We own our home free and clear. We have a will in place. But I've been wondering, is there a way that we can avoid probate when we pass as far as your house is concerned?
Yeah, there sure is. You can do it a couple of ways. One is what's called a transfer on death deed. So a transfer on death deed preserves the stepped up basis as an heir or of an heir, which is what happens when an heir inherits a property. The heir, if it's transferred during the grantor's lifetime, receives the grantor's cost basis, which is the carryover basis. But when it's passed through inheritance, they receive a stepped up basis as of the date of death, which is how you want that to pass. And so a transfer on death deed, similar to a payable on death with a brokerage account, would pass directly to the beneficiary that's named outside of probate. So that's one way, probably the most cost-effective way. The second way would be through a revocable trust, where the home could be retitled in the name of the trust, and then it would pass outside of probate based on the trust documents. The trustee would make the decisions to either liquidate the house or manage the property according to the trust. And again, that would all be that would not be a part of the public record, and it would not be a part of the probate court's process at death. So either of those could be in play, and I would talk to a godly estate attorney, Dean, about this question as a part of your overall estate planning, just to see which makes the more sense.
Okay. I'm not sure South Carolina has the option of a transfer on death, but I'll have to look into that.
Yeah, I would. I mean, obviously, different states have different rules, but, you know, so it may not. There may not be a TOD there. Where it's recognized, obviously, this, you know, would be a great option. If not, then I think that's where you would probably look to a trust as a better option there, if that's your objective to pass it, you know, without going through probate. And it also would give you more control over the process, because you may decide not to have it sold immediately and to do that over time. The trustee could also manage the property if you were incapacitated in some way. So that's where it's always good to get legal counsel on these matters, especially given what you raised, and that is some of these laws will change state to state. And so I would connect with an attorney there. We appreciate your call today very much, sir. To Tennessee. Hi, Dennis. How can I help you?
Good morning. thank you for taking my call. I appreciate this type of program. I'm just traveling up down the mountain now, and I happen to tune into your station there. And my wife and I, of course, we're elderly, and we sold our motorhome recently because her health won't allow us to travel now. And I've got about $45,000. I'm trying to decide. I've got a little IRA, but I don't really want to put more money in there that the government knows about. I just wonder if I thought about just keeping it, taking it out of my checking account and just keeping it for, you know, like a rainy day or emergency. But I'm just wondering if I should, a friend of mine, he has an IRA. He said I could run he has a CD he could probably set me up with. It's pretty reasonable.
Yeah, very good. Let's do this, Dennis. I've got to take a quick break, but if you can hold the line, as soon as we come back, I'll give you my thoughts on where we go with this $45,000 in light of your need to keep it liquid, but also safe. Much more to come on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
Are you too busy to go to church? We love God, but life gets complicated. But I can help you. I'm Pastor John Miller, and we've designed an app that has church services, a Bible reading plan, and a path for spiritual growth. You can live stream or listen to a podcast of an encouraging Bible message when you're too busy to go to church. Search for Church on the Rock Texarkana at the App Store. It'll help you connect to God when life is busy. I'm Pastor John Miller. Visit me at churchontherock.org.
Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Christian parents are on the hook today because they have to identify the threats to the value system that's being taught to their children in public schools. And their job is to protect their kids from these influences.
Tune in for Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson. Weekdays at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. on American Family Radio.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to our program. God's blessings to you all.
Are you searching for a way to become a better, faithful steward of the resources that God has given you? Well, download the FaithFi app and join the 37,000 others who are already using our app. The FaithFi app will provide you with wisdom, community, and simply help you stay on track with your finances. We have 3 money management options to choose from, so find an option that fits your unique needs. It's available on desktop or mobile. Simply go to faithfi.com and click app to get started.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions, 800-525-7000. Bob Dahl joins us in just a moment. We'll get his take on the week ahead in the markets and the economy. But first, let's head back to the phones. Dennis is in Tennessee. Dennis, a brand new listener, just finding the program as he was traveling today, and had a question about some money he's got in his checking account, about $45,000, wondering what to do with it. Dennis, is this the extent of your liquid savings that you have available currently?
No, I have a couple. I have a couple IRAs. One is like an insurance policy for my wife, and the other it's IRA.
Okay.
And I don't have much cash, on my hand. Other than this, I just wonder if with this administration, you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And like this digital dollar, I don't even know anything about the digital dollar, but what's going to happen if they do change that over?
Yeah. Well, that's still a good ways off, but it's something we ought to certainly take note of. I'm not a big fan of the idea of a central bank digital currency at all, just because of the visibility and control over commerce and means of exchange by the government. But that's going to be a congressional action if it happens. Right now, it's just in a research phase, so we need to continue to watch it. And it's if anything happened, it'd be much further down the road. The question is kind of how to approach this $45,000. What we would say is, in this season of life, you'd probably want at least 6 months worth of expenses liquid. And so I'd be looking, Dennis, to a high yield savings account with FDIC insurance. So that'd be backed by the U.S. government. Right now, you can get over 4% if you use an online bank. And if you're comfortable with that, you could open an online bank, FDIC insured, link it to your checking account, and, you know, still get a decent amount of interest, 4+% on that money, but it's still completely liquid. So you're, you know, 24 hours away from a transfer over to your current checking account to have it accessible. And then if you had some money beyond that 6 months worth of expenses, that's where I think a CD can make some sense if you're wanting to be, you know, very secure with it. You don't want to take any risk, but you want to try to maximize the yield. You could look to either CDs right now paying for maybe a 15-month CD, 5.5%, or you could look at inflation bonds. We've talked about those in the past on the program. These I-bonds are a composite rate of two factors, but one of the components is pegged to the consumer price index, and because of where inflation is right now, they're paying 6.8%. Now, you'd have to do that quickly because that is only good through the end of April, and we're going to get the new rate in May, and it's likely coming down, but you'd at least get 6 months at 6.8%. You could open that at treasurydirect.gov, and you'd have to move that money in electronically to buy the electronic bonds. But those are backed by the U.S. government, so very, very safe. And you could get a great interest rate in the meantime. Now, you've got to leave that money in for at least a year. But as long as you leave it there for a year, you could get a pretty attractive rate on it. You can put in up to $10,000 per person per year. So I think the high yield savings for 6 months expenses and then either a CD or the I-bonds for the remaining portion probably is your best bet. But what do you think?
It makes sense. That's why I give you a call. Well, I used to listen to a guy named Larry Brookett years ago.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this program is the legacy show of Larry. You know, Larry's show was passed to Howard Dayton, and I took over in 2017. We have incredible respect for Larry, an amazing man of God. His kind heart and biblical wisdom and insight really popularized the approach we take to personal finance rooted in Scripture. And there's not a week that goes by, Dennis, that somebody doesn't mention Larry's name and the impact that he had. So I concur with your thoughts there.
All right, Mr. West, I appreciate your time, and God bless you.
And you as well, sir. Thank you for being on the program today. We appreciate it. Well, before we head back to the phones, let's take a moment and check in with our friend Bob Dahl. He's Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. He stops by each Monday to take a look at the week ahead as we think about the markets and the economy. And Bob, good morning to you.
And to you. Nice to hear that reference to Larry Brookett. He sure got us started, didn't he?
He sure did. I'll tell you what, and it's amazing the impact he continues to have with what he shared and encouraged so many with over the years. Bob, markets largely flat today. What are you watching this week?
We will have 60% of the companies in the market report their earnings between this week and next. So it's going to be fast and furious, and they'll be watching those earnings to see if economic slowdown has affected them, if inflation with cost increases have they been able to raise their prices to keep up with inflation, and maybe most importantly, Rob, what are they saying about the remainder of this calendar year?
Yeah, no question about that. As it relates to earnings, Bob, I'm picking up in your Dahl's deliberations this week that perhaps you think forecasts have been a bit too optimistic.
They have. I mean, we're only a bit into earnings reports for the first quarter, and they've been a little bit better than expected. And yet, analysts have net cut their estimates for the remainder of the year. Hmm. So estimates are still too high, and as analysts are getting more information, even if it's positive information, generally they're cutting their estimates. Estimates are too high, especially if we're going to have the economic slowdown that many of us are looking for.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Bob, what about wages and just the overall labor market? What are you seeing there?
Well, the labor market, as you know, Rob, has been one of the outliers in terms of economic weakness and a potential recession. The labor market has hung in there. It's been tight, a very low unemployment rate. But we're beginning to see some cracks in that. initial jobless claims last week, for example, actually 2 weeks in a row, have jumped to higher than we're used to numbers. So perhaps the labor market is beginning to feel some of the weakness. There have been a lot of announced layoffs, as you know, but it takes a while to get from announced layoff to actually completing that inside companies. We're beginning to see that now.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's helpful. Bob, you also had a reminder in your deliberations this week just about how stocks are affected by a recession and when we typically see that bottom in place. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, this is just a statement of history. Stocks often bottom before the end of a recession, but have never bottomed before a recession started. Mm. Now, there's nothing that says we are sure going to get a recession. Many of us feel like we're going to have a mild recession. And if we do, it probably means there's some trouble in the stock market and we breached last October's lows. Of course, there's nothing in the history books that says it has to happen again.
Sure.
But our guess is that because of the earnings estimate reductions in front of us and an actual mild recession, that the stock market is probably going to at some point struggle. We're at the higher end of the 3,800 to 4,200 S&P 500 trading range that's been in operation now for many months. And every time we move to the higher end of it, tends to have an excuse to sell off. And my guess is we'll get that again, Rob.
So better prepare ourselves for that. If we were to retest or perhaps even go below last October's lows, what effect would that have? Are you ready for that? Because we probably need to prepare ourselves mentally for that. Bob, two other quick...
I think you're right on target.
Yeah. Two other quick things that came up on the show today. I just love your take on. I'm sure you saw the news out about the Biden administration's move to subsidize people with riskier credit ratings who are in the market to buy houses through Fannie and Freddie. What are your thoughts on that?
It does sound a little goofy. I mean, you know, you want to reward people who are being prudent, not the opposite. And so I think there'll be a lot. There is a lot of controversy already about that potential program.
Yeah, interesting. We'll watch that one. And then a question today just about the debt ceiling. I gave my thoughts. I'd love to hear yours. I mean, obviously, it's a giant game of chicken, but there's a lot at stake here, Bob. You know, is the economic fallout from that all dependent upon how long that goes on? And is there a real risk of either A, not paying the interest and principal on treasuries, and B, what about Social Security and Medicare?
Yeah, start with the back end. Social Security and Medicare, they're not going to touch those. It's a political third rail, and occasionally somebody raises their hand halfway to touch that third rail, and they get booted out of office. So I don't think we're going to go there. More broadly on the debt ceiling, I, like many, think we will come up with a resolution. The problem is, how much noise and consternation will there be between here and there? Yeah. Will we get it done by the time we have to get it done, or will it carry on for weeks or a few months after that and we have some sort of default? That's a possibility, hopefully a low probability, Rob, and that the 11th or 12th hour, these guys will come together and cobble some sort of compromise. Austerity is in our future. Anytime the debt and the debt service, more importantly, gets to these levels historically, believe it or not, Congress kicks back on spending a bit. And I think we'll get that, but it's not going to be simple.
All right. Well, we'll certainly keep an eye on it. A lot more to talk about between now and that June date where they think this is going to be a reality. Bob, we'll appreciate your insights along the way. Thanks for joining us, my friend.
Of course.
All right. That's Bob Dahl, Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments, where investments and values intersect. You can learn more at crossmarkglobal.com while you're there. Sign up for his Dahl's deliberations. Unfortunately, we're out of time. We've got two calls holding. We'll try to get your phone number and get you all on the program first tomorrow. I apologize. We ran out of time today. Folks, thanks for being along with us today. I'm Rob West. On behalf of my team, Jim Henry, Devin Patrick and Pat Montague. We're so thankful that you were along with us today. We'll look forward to having you back, Lord willing, tomorrow when we do it all over again. In the meantime, if you'd like to check out more on faith and finance, head to our website, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. While you're there, search for a certified Kingdom Advisor in your area or check out our FaithFi community. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.